I want to welcome each and every one of you to one of our three campuses at CCV. If you're visiting for the first time, we as a church are going through the story, which is really the Bible, but it's written in novel form, so it's much easier to understand. And today we're at the book of Acts, which is called the New Beginnings, kind of the beginnings, the history of that early church, and we're going to observe how they changed the culture. If you have the story, turn to page 392. If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 2, and we're going to begin at verse 36. Peter preached a sermon. The people were convicted. They repented of their sins. They were baptized, and they became Christ followers. But what happens? Was that the end? No, they literally began to change the culture around them. Let's look at their story in verse 43. It says, the new believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, that would be the word of God as they knew it, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers, meaning these new Christians that came together from different backgrounds, they were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they met together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. In other words, their lifestyle was so radical and genuine that even those that weren't Christ followers said, hey, they have something that we need. And because of that, the Lord added to their number every day those that were being saved. Here at CCV, we are a continuing part of that same story from the early church 2,000 years later. And so the question before us is, how are we doing with the story? How are we doing at changing our culture? If you're visiting today, just sit back and relax and listen. You're gonna hear a lot about CCV all in one shot. But this is really for more of the members and regular attenders, because every time at this year, at the beginning of the year, I do kind of a state of the church where we talk about our goals for the past year, how we did, and the goals and challenges that God has for us in the coming year in 2013. And we're doing it a little different this year. Instead of having all the statistics in your program, what we've done is put together an annual report. And this annual report is incredible. It's got a lot of things. And on all three campuses, when you leave today, I want each family to pick up a copy of the annual report. And it will share with you in detail some of the things that we have done. One of the things that we have done here at CCV is we try to grow consistently year after year, and our goal is to grow 10% in every area so we can maintain a strong foundation as we build upon that. And this year we achieved that 10%, in some areas we didn't. Baptisms, people coming to Christ, we increased 14% over last year. In our attendance, we didn't quite make 10%, we were at 5-6% growth. In our giving this year, we had an incredible year. We increased 25-26% over last year. So as you look at this annual report, what I want to do as you take this, I just want to take a few pages of this and show you those so that it'll give you an overview of what you're going to read as you take these home. The first page we're going to show you is basically our multi-site strategy. And if you look at our multi-site strategy, you see that what we're trying to do is have circles where people are literally about 20 to 30 minutes apart. We have a campus in Surprise, we have a campus in Peoria, and a campus in Scottsdale, because what we've found is that people's commitment, their consistency drops off if they drive 20 to 30 minutes. Okay, they'll drive once for the weekend worship, but they don't stay as involved after 20 to 30 minutes. And so it's also more difficult to get their unchurched friends to come and be a part of a church to drive that far. And so what we want to do is literally have circles all throughout the valley, campuses 20 to 30 minutes apart, where everybody can easily get to our ministry. Scottsdale, as we started in October, was credible how they began with over 1,000 people. They did an awesome job. But you know, one of the most amazing things, what happened at the Scottsdale campus as we opened that? 30% of the people on the Scottsdale campus had never been to a Surprise or a Peoria campus before that, which simply means they did an awesome job of reaching out and telling their neighbors and their friends and coworkers about the church that was coming to their area. So we praise God for that, and that is our multi-site strategy because we know we can never reach this valley on one location. Another page I want to show you is the impact of our neighborhood ministry that we tried to have this year on our elementary schools. And you remember we did in the spring, we collected school supplies and honored the teachers. And then over Christmas, we basically provided food, as you'll see there, for 375 schools. And we probably, as a church, gave as a gift to our community through our schools over $500,000 with those two initiatives. And what I want you to see on that page is the number of schools that we impacted. We're not a neighborhood church. Literally, the impact goes way beyond us and all over the whole valley. A third page that I want to show you is the new churches that we've supported. We want to grow as a church, but we also want to start new churches to help people reach other people all over the valley and the world. And so you will see those dots represent 25 different locations where we're either planting new churches this year and supporting them, or we're continuing to support churches that have been planted a year or two, they're a year or two old. Now, that's 25 locations where we're planting churches. That does not indicate the number of churches, because in some of those areas in Africa and India, it would be 30 churches in one location. So God has been able to do incredible things through this ministry, through your prayers and your generosity. Also, this year, as you know, we are huge. The past year, we've been huge in international training. Key leaders and staff people from CCV have literally trained 5,000 pastors and business leaders on 5 different continents because we really believe in leadership training. Also, a lot of you know that we have a great STARS sports ministry for our young people. And over 6,000 young people are involved in our STARS ministry. Almost half of them don't have a church home, so it's a great opportunity. As we open up our new recreation fields in Surprise just this next month, that's going to open up even more opportunities to expand that and reach a lot of families and get a lot of kids involved in what God's doing. The next page I want to show you is the giving analysis of our church. You can see over 11,000 people have made a commitment, wrote a check to CCV in the past year on our 3 campuses. That could be giving every week, giving once a month, or even giving one check, but that's how many people have helped support this ministry. It also shows you our online presence. You can give at a kiosk at our campuses. You can give online. My wife and I give online. Just takes it right out of our paycheck. The first thing always goes to the church. You can also we have a mobile app that you can use. And the other, I'm gonna tell you, all of you on our campuses that give online, you probably go through what I go through when I sit in the audience. And if you give online and the bucket comes by and people look at you like, cheapskate, why aren't you giving? Just relax and holler out, I give online, and they'll have you ushered out real quick, okay? But anyway, that's kind of what we do. 45% of our church now gives online, and so I don't want to encourage you to take advantage of that. You also see the chart there, the pie chart. It talks about our budget allocation, the different things to go to different areas of ministry. And as you get your report and look at that, you'll have a chance to look at that in greater detail. But we just praise God for your generosity, because you can see through your generosity, we have been able to have a huge impact, not just in our valley, but literally around the world. Now I want to share with you 3 or 4 huge opportunities that we have for us in 2013. One, as far as internationally, we're going to continue to train leaders, pastors, and Christian business leaders literally all over the world. We'll be going on 5 continents again this year, and one thing you can do is really pray for the safety, because we partner one of our staff with a business person, and they go and train, and so that prayer for safety is huge. We'll continue that. Secondly, like I shared with you earlier, that there's a new group called Undivided, which is the largest churches in the valley trying to get together and say, we're not going to compete, we're going to cooperate, and it's one church serving the valley, and I'm humbled they asked me to lead that group of all the large churches in the valley. And so this year, we have said there's four initiatives that we're going to try and highlight and work on. One is we're going to try to make sure that it'll take us a while, but that no child goes to bed hungry. Second thing, we're going to try to empty the foster care system. The third thing is we are going to try and work with other agencies on the immigration issue, because we believe as the Church of Jesus Christ, we're not going to get political, but we need to extend the compassion of our Lord in this issue. The fourth thing is that we're going to try and connect a church with every elementary school in the valley, because that's the way we believe that we can begin to change the culture. Now, some of these initiatives will get done pretty soon. Some will take us years to do, but would you please pray for Undivided? And my leadership, Larry Fraley, is hugely involved in that from this church, because we're kind of unique in Phoenix, in the valley, in that on almost all the other big cities, we're told that the large churches don't cooperate. Phoenix is doing that better than anybody, and so I praise God for that. So we want to train leaders. We want to train leaders all around the world. We want to make an impact here locally with Undivided. The third thing is we want to raise up the next generation of leaders, and we're beginning in August with Pastor Mark's really influence in this. We're starting a brand new residency program, and it's for college students from Christian colleges that have gone 3 years, and they can come to our campus and get their fourth year and then graduate from their schools, or they can graduate and come and get a master's degree in 1 year. Now, there are some churches that are partnering with one college, but there's no church that's partnering with several colleges, and right now there's about 12 colleges all across the United States that say, we want to partner with you to raise up the next generation of Christian leaders. We're going to limit the first year to 30 residents, and we believe in 5 years we'll be able to have 100 residents a year. And the impact of that to raise up the next generation of leaders for the church is incredible. And so that's new, and you be praying for that. The fourth thing that I want to share with you is, again, we continually want to start multi-sites, another circle where we can reach out to people. And there's two areas that we're looking at. One is the area around Westgate in the Southwest Valley. We have almost 1,500 people from that area that are driving 25 to 30 minutes. And so we have already been looking at places for months, and you be praying that God will open up the right location, that we will be there in August to chart a multi-site in the Southwest area. Also, we have an incredible desire to plant multi-sites in the ethnic diverse areas, because you look at the future growth of the city, it's coming in those areas. And so this past year, I've been working some training Latino and Hispanic pastors. They've asked me to help train them this year. We're going to be doing that, and we're praying that God would continually help us raise up leaders as we plant multi-sites in more of the ethnic diverse areas. So you can see we have some incredible challenges before us in 2013. Your prayer, your support, your generosity is what makes this happen. Now, if we're going to be able to accomplish most of these goals that God has placed before us, what's it going to take? Well, each year we try to have a new theme, and our theme for 2013 is Step Up. All right? Let's all say that out loud together. CCV, we're going to
Step Up.
All three campuses, let me hear you again. We're going to That's what we're going to do. We're going to go to the next level. And I want you to know that I'm not afraid to challenge you to go to the next level, because that's the only way we grow. We grow in every area of our life when we what? When we step up to the next level. If you're a businessman or a businesswoman, what happens? You want to step up, go to the next level. You got to what? You got to decrease expenses and you got to increase sales. If you're coaching football in the Super Bowl this weekend, you got to do what? You've got to what? You've got to eliminate turnovers, and you got to increase your third down efficiency. If you're a man or a woman, you want to increase your health, you got to do what? You've got to work out and exercise more. You got to eat better. Or if you want to grow spiritually, there's some things that you've got to do. And so I'm not afraid to challenge you to step up, because I heard someone say this once. They said, you cast vision to get rid of people. That's interesting, isn't it? I'm not telling you we want you to leave, but I've always told you would cast vision to attract more people. But you know, every time you raise the bar, not everybody goes with you. They didn't go with Jesus either. And so we want to constantly challenge you to step up. Because you see, if we're going to impact this city with the gospel of Jesus Christ, we got to make some changes. What's the areas I would like to encourage you to step up spiritually? We're going to use the acrostic STEP UP. S stands for serve. I want to encourage you to serve wholeheartedly. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Now that's important because sometimes we serve people thinking we're going to get something back. No, we serve the Lord, not getting something back. We serve because of what He's done for us. And so we serve the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does. Now, at CCV on all three campuses, we have over 6,500 volunteers, servants that week after week step up and help us do ministry. I talk with a lot of pastors of large churches, and you need to know the average large church has between 45 to 55, even 60% of their budget goes to salaries and benefits of the staff. At CCV, our budget, 32% goes to staff. You know why? Because of the army of volunteers. So many of you that have said, we believe in this dream to win, train, and send, and we're going to step up and make it happen. Because you see, when you have more campuses, you attract more people, and more people provides more ministries and more opportunities, and so we need more people to get in the game. I want you to watch and listen to the story of Randall Ice, one of the men in our church that took the challenge to step up and serve, and listen to how it's changed his life.
Okay, my name's Randall Ice, and Diane, my wife, and I have been coming to CCC for about 15 years or so. And I've been serving in the children's ministry for over 10 years. I was sitting in the audience one day, a long time ago, and he made a plea from the pulpit to have more volunteers in certain areas, and one of them was the children's ministry. And I had no idea at that time that it was even in my heart, but for some reason I wrote my name on the paper, dropped it in the offering basket as it went around, and that Monday I got a call, and by the next Sunday I was serving in the children's ministry. It just becomes a passion. It becomes a real joy, and you know, work is work. And I need to balance the stress of work against something that is so fulfilling, and that's bringing people to Jesus. I've probably grown as much as any of the children that I've been working with. I mean, my life has changed completely. The Lord has blessed me so much over the past 10, 12 years that I've been doing this. It's unbelievable, and it's just the joy of my life. And you just see a transformation in their hearts and in their lives. And not only that, you hear from their parents. You know, I've had experiences where a child will be memorizing the Lord's Prayer because that's the first one I have them do. And they'll come back in a couple weeks and their face is beaming and they know the Lord's Prayer, you know. So I have them say it and I give them a reward for that. And then about a couple of weeks later, they come back and say, hey, I got my whole family saying the Lord's Prayer before meals. And so all of a sudden we're impacting the whole family through the children. And that's just an awesome thing. I mean, I've seen, we've brought grandparents to Christ. We've brought dads to Christ. We've brought uncles to Christ through the ministry that we have with our children. That's what is so gratifying for me personally, see that happening. God moves your heart to serve. I mean, when you finally find out that it's not about you, it's about bringing people to Christ, and how can you best do that? And it isn't just serving in children's ministry or something. It could be serving in any number of areas within CCV. But the key is Jesus wants us to be a servant, right? I mean, that's his main message, is to show people love and serve others. Just start out with something simple. If you're a little nervous about teaching or something, just start out being a greeter or something like that. It's so important that we have everyone possible step up and help us at CCV, and it's great. Now, I'll tell you, and one more thing, and I've heard this before, maybe from Don, if not you, then who? If not now, then when?
It's people like Randall on all three of our campuses that are faithfully serving week after week, wholeheartedly, impacting so many people that really makes a difference. And you'll notice in your program, there's a, pull this out, look at it. It kind of says serve there. And you see the areas of ministry that we have that you can get involved in. And what we're doing is if you're interested in serving in any area, there will be information meeting on all three campuses next Sunday afternoon at 5 p.m. And I want to encourage you to pray about it this week. Where can you serve? And then you come, if you would, and participate and say, man, I'm ready to serve wherever you need me. S stands for serve wholeheartedly. T stands for tithe faithfully, meaning we give the first 10% of our finances or our resources to the Lord. Bible puts it this way in Malachi chapter 3. Bring the whole tithe, that's the 10%, into the storehouse, which is the church, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. The commitment is what? He said, give the first 10%. The promise was, God says, test me and see if I won't bless you. And the blessing is, he said, I'll throw open the floodgates. The floodgates means, man, there's a lot coming, that God is waiting to bless you if you will trust him. Some of you probably remember about this time last year that we asked everybody to make a financial commitment, put an envelope, seal it, put their name and address on the front. None of us looked at it. Put God to the test and say, can I trust God? Will, if I tithe, will he bless me and take care of me? And thousands of you did that. Then we mailed them back to you 6 months later. And I want you to know two things. Number one, the emails that I have from children, high school kids, parents, people of all ages saying, this is the first time I've ever tried this. And God blessed me way beyond my mildest dreams and expectations. He did what he said he was going to do. That's the first. The second thing, I think one reason our giving grew 25% last year and we were able to meet the needs of so many more people is because so many of you stepped up and trusted God financially in that. If you look in your program again, all of you on all three campuses, take this out and let's look at it together. I know when we talk about giving, everybody gets nervous. Hang in here. We're all on the same team. We're all going to step up. Look at this. It says, in my life and finances, I'm going to acknowledge that God owns everything. I'm going to trust in giving the first 10%, knowing that God will provide. And what I'd like for you to do is look at those four boxes. I'll start tithing for the first time. I'll keep tithing. I'll start giving beyond 10%. I'll keep giving beyond 10%. Would you pray about it as I'm preaching on all three campuses? At the end, we'll take an offering, and I'd like you to take this. Don't write your name, but just check one of the boxes. My prayer is that 1,000 families on all three campuses would trust God with the tithe, and they would trust him for the first time. My wife and I have tithed for years. Now we're giving over 20% of our income to CCV. We give more than that to missions over and above that. I want you to know that God is awesome. I mean, like I said, we give online. God has blessed us so much, way beyond more than we deserve or even ask. And I want you to accept this challenge because I don't want you to miss the blessing of seeing what God will do. So I want to encourage you, you pray about that and help in that way that you can. E stands for evangelize daily. We read there in the book of Acts, that early church, it said every day they met together in the temple courts. It was a daily lifestyle. You look at the end and it says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And so we're talking about it, it's life change. Last year, 1,639 people accepted Jesus Christ and were baptized. We praise God for that. It's all about people. As I shared with you, over 6,000 young people are involved in our youth sports, and over half of them don't go to our church. And we want to somehow build stronger families through the sports and connect them to each other and to the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll look in your programs, if you'd pull this out, and it says evangelize. I will reach out to my neighbors, your coworkers, your family by praying for them and inviting them to church. And my goal is you'll put this in your wallet, you'll put this in your purse, you'll keep it with you all the time, and you'll write down the names of four people that you're praying for and you're going to invite to join you on one of our campuses at CCV. Now you might be saying, well, wait a minute, why do we need to do that? The early church exploded because they were evangelizing daily. God was bringing them people daily. We say in Phoenix, over 85% of the people in the valley don't go to church. I came across a Barna survey this week that blew my mind. It's brand new. Barna has been doing research for several months saying which cities in America are the most Bible-minded. You say, what does that mean? They believe in the Bible, they try to apply the Bible to their daily life, or they resist the Bible, don't want anything to do with that. What percentage of the people believe in the Word of God and they try to apply it to their lives? Let me give you some of the statistics. Some of the cities, the largest cities in America. Charlotte, North Carolina, 48% Bible-minded. Dallas, Texas, 38%. Denver, 24%. Orlando, 25%. San Diego, 24%. Seattle, 24%. New York City, 18%. Las Vegas, 18% are Bible-minded. Where do you go after Las Vegas? 18%. Where do you think Phoenix was? I'm sorry to report that Phoenix, 17% of the people in the valley are Bible-minded. Believe in the Bible, trying to apply it to their daily lives. That breaks my heart as a pastor. I've been here for 40 years in this valley, and we're not getting the job done. And my friends, that's why I want to encourage you, we got to be praying for our neighbors. We got to be praying for our coworkers. We got to be inviting them to church and be bold and step up. Because if we don't, we're going to leave this valley in a worse shape for our children and our grandchildren if we do not raise them with biblical truth. And so I pray that we would really think about that. Keep this prayer card with you and pray every day for those four people on that list. P stands for participate. Participate consistently in a worship and a neighborhood group. The Bible says in Hebrews 10, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Well, you say, well, that sounds like going to church is a habit. Well, most everything we do is a habit, or we become complacent. Isn't that true? Almost everything you do in life, if you don't make it a habit, if you don't have discipline, you'll become complacent. The same thing is true in our worship. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage each other all the more as we see the day approaching. Our neighborhood ministry is the backbone of this church, and we have over 8,000 people involved in small groups, neighborhood groups, all throughout the valley, and they get together in over 500 groups. Now, the truth is, a lot of us, we're not that consistent in worship. We're not that consistent in our neighborhood groups. And I want to encourage you to step up. If you come 2 out of 4 weeks to church, go from 2 to 3. If you're at 3, go from 3 to 4. If you're in your neighborhood group and you don't go at all, get involved. You need to be encouraged that way. If you go 2 times a month, I want to encourage you to be more consistent. Somebody said, the first step away from God is a step away from the people of God. I'll repeat that. The first step away from God is a step away from the people of God. Meaning, when you're convicted, you're doing something that dishonors God, you will find that you will probably start backing out of coming to church and you'll quit going to neighborhood groups. You'll draw away from the people of God because you feel convicted. That's why we need each other. And that's why I want to encourage you to be consistent in that, if you would. Now, these four things, if we step up, if we serve, if we tithe, if we evangelize daily, and we participate consistently, the UP stands for unlimited potential. If we step up and do these, I promise you, you'll move to the next level spiritually. I promise you, as a church, we'll be able to accomplish things we've never accomplished before. Listen to God's promise, Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory forever and ever. Listen, we can plan, we can strategize, we can pray. This is worthless without the power of the Holy Spirit working within us. And when we look at God's power working within us, listen, church, we've done more than we can ask or think or imagine, and we've got some big dreams that we want to accomplish with God's help next year. Trust me, it's more than we can dream or ask and imagine, but God will make it possible with his help. So what's the takeaway? Where do we go from here? How do we apply this? I want you to fill in the blank. My 2013 area of spiritual growth is. In other words, where are you going to step up spiritually? We need all of you to step up. You might say, now listen carefully. I don't want to blow you away and you say, man, I got to do all four of these? No, pick one. If you're not doing any of these, pick one. If you're doing one of these, step up and try two. If you're doing two, step up and try three. If you're doing three, yeah, I will encourage you to step up and try four. Because if you do this, if you serve and put others ahead of yourself, if you give God the first of your resources, trusting Him to provide, if you pray for the lost daily and you're bold, and if you participate regularly with other believers, you will move to the next level spiritually. Or as we say in 2013, we will. Oh, you've listened great. Let's try that again on all three campuses. In 2013, if you do these, you will. And that's why it's great to pastor a church. You're not willing to step, you're willing to step up. You're willing to do whatever it takes. Here's what I'd like you to do. A little bit here, I'm going to pray, and we're going to sing a song that says God is able. That God will do what He says He will do. He will never fail. He's on our side. He'll make a way for it to happen. And so I want to encourage you, after I pray, the offering basket's going to come. Then we'll be singing that song as kind of our commitment song together on all three campuses, saying, God, I'm going to step up. I'm going to take an area that's very uncomfortable for me, and I'm going to trust You. And so for those of you, as we pass the offering, you can put your tithes and offerings there. And then also if you would drop, not your name, but just drop this, check the box where you'll commit. If you're a guest in our service on either campus today, we don't expect you to give. This service is our gift to you, so you just let the bucket pass right on by. Let's use this time to talk to God and say, God, I'm glad that I'm a part of a church that challenges me to step up. Let's pray. Lord God, we love You. We're honored to be Your children. And I just thank You for the founding members of CCV that 30 years ago, meeting in a movie theater with no money, no property, they said, we'll do whatever it takes to impact this city. I thank You over the years for the people that have come, people that are today on all three campuses that have stepped up in different ways by serving and giving and evangelizing and participating. God, may their number increase. God, forgive us that we've coasted. Many of us have become complacent. We've let other things take priority in our life. And when I hear that statistic of 17% are Bible-minded, God, it breaks my heart. And I pray that this won't continue to go down on our watch. That on all three campuses, where we worship, where we work, where our kids go to school, in the marketplace, we would step up and say, God, count on me to make a stronger stand for You and be a difference maker where I live and where I serve. Lord, we're believing by faith that this year will be our greatest year, that You will do more than we can ask or think or imagine. We believe that because we have a great faith in a great God. Thank You, Lord, for challenging us to be more and more like You. Bless each person that commits. Bless this church as together we're a community that impacts our city with hope. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.